Hotels.com.
In California, more techies are being added to the fight to figure out the glitches on the Obamacare website, and the Red Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series starting on Wednesday. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Just a few of the things that will mix in to the conversation. So Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, goes back to the Lone Star State after the 15, 16, 17 days, really 16 days of the shutdown, but all that conversation that went into would we have a shutdown of the government or not. He comes home a favorite of the Tea Party to, at one point, an 8-minute standing ovation. So while the knives are out, even in his own party and in D.C., looking to scalp Cruz for what some are saying his ridiculous attempt to derail Obamacare with the shutdown of the federal government, and many calling him reckless, tactics that were futile and stupid. So after a couple of months in Washington, he said he was psyched to be back home, back in America, is what he said. He was in a downtown San Antonio hotel ballroom, about 800 people crowded in, and as I said, he got a 8-minute standing ovation. Different story, as people were cursing him under their breath in Washington over the rollout of Obamacare and stopping it, it coinciding with stopping the federal government with a 16-day shutdown. So now it becomes a question of a couple of things. One, what about the budget? Because, oh yeah, there's another deadline for that. And lifting the debt ceiling, because, oh yeah, there's another deadline for that as well. And at the same time, what's going on with affordable health care? And the website, healthcare.gov, that so many are trying to access. So the president is going to talk about the website issues that have been part of the problem on Monday and has demanded that more technical people be added to this to fix the glitch, to fix the problem. Apparently in the Rose Garden, he's going to reiterate his stance that he finds the problems unacceptable and we'll discuss what they're doing to get them fixed. About 500,000 people supposedly have filled out applications for Obamacare at this point. But what a fiasco. Senator John McCain, who was part of the Sunday swirl, that's what I affectionately call the talking heads of politics on Sunday morning, said that it's time to send Air Force One to Silicon Valley. Load it up with smart people, bring it back to Washington, and fix this problem. It's ridiculous, and everybody knows it. Well, if only the smart people would go to Washington and stay there, Senator McCain, they could fix more, probably, than just a website. And it looks as though there may be some headhunting on the Hill, too. Why not blow some more money to talk about the website, which would mean Kathleen Sebelius would have to answer questions, the Health and Human Services Secretary would have to do that. People are calling in and complaining about the issues and can't enroll and having problems with it. So we'll find out what happens on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, because there still is massive, massive problems. What's interesting is over the weekend, I thought one of the big stories is, oh, here's some money the government is getting back. J.P. Morgan, you know, those banks too big to fail. Jamie Dimon was the silver-haired fox that everybody embraced back in 2008. Well, J.P. Morgan Chase has reached a tentative $13 billion agreement with the U.S. Justice Department to settle an investigation into, well, yeah, bad mortgage loans that the bank, oh, yeah, sold to investors before the financial crisis. What the deal doesn't do, thank goodness, for once, is release the bank from any criminal possibilities for some of the mortgages that it packaged into bonds and sold to investors. So that means some heads could still roll. Phew. I thought the bankers always got off. So they'll cooperate. Certain scapegoats, I mean individuals, involved in what happened will probably be hauled before the Justice Department. But what about that $13 billion? Finally, some money back. Some money back, rather. Some money back and the ability to prosecute a few people involved in it. Because remember, it was, oh, I don't know, a month or so ago, that J.P. Morgan said that it had stockpiled $23 billion in reserves for settlements and other legal expenses because they were covering their investigations, all these investigations that were happening over the financial crisis. So they're still hammering out the fine points, but that's pretty much the big deal. And I think that's one of the big stories over the weekend when you were buried maybe in football or the movies. Maybe you went to see Gravity. Seems that George Clooney and Sandra Bullock are the hottest team since the Spice Girls. I mean, people cannot get enough of these two. 170 million, something like that, so far in 3 weeks. That doesn't count every single thing either. All the new releases, meaning all the box office possibilities, the receipts, doesn't count all of overseas. Gravity. That's what we need. We need Gravity. Something like that. So I love that, to me, the big story, like I said, is the fact that J.P. Morgan has to pay. Jamie Dimon slurked to D.C. to meet with Eric Holder, the attorney general, to discuss a settlement. And at that point, they were talking about like $10, $11 billion, something like that. So let me be clear. We're talking $13 billion. Dollars. That's good. Because finally recovering something. And the mortgage bonds that they're talking about that they sold to investors, think of the markets tanking, think of 2008. These foxes swindled people, whoever they are, between 2005 to 2007. So bravo. For once, the bankers pay the price. Some say maybe not enough. And we'll see what criminally happens here. Coming up in this hour of America tonight, we got a couple of great re-racks for you. One is Dick Stolle is going to join us. He was the guy who secured the Zapruder film. And if you think of the Zapruder film and Life magazine and what that meant, he was quoted in Parade magazine that came out this week and, of course, on Sunday. And we had him on the show, and a lot of people wanted to hear that interview, how he got the film, how he reacted to JFK's assassination and all of that. And then, to lighten the load at the exit, what if you could just chuck it all and take a sabbatical? A lot of people wondering about the sabbatical couple, too, so we'll introduce you to them. But on the flip side, a sea serpent in Southern California. Could it really be the Loch Ness Monster? Ooh, the timing is delicious. It's almost Halloween. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can! It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Was just a bunch of nonsense that the Scottish used to talk about. I was one of those people. In fact, my grandmother, who was the smartest woman that I never understood, she would, for a while, she would get that crappy National Enquirer when we would go to the store, when I would stay with her, and Grandmother Delaney, and it was shocking because it was so opposite of her personality, and she didn't watch Hollywood stuff, but I don't know. I think the crazy stories attracted her. So every time she picked up one of those, and I was a kid, I was fascinated because I'd look at the covers, and I can't tell you how many times I saw stories about the Loch Ness Monster has been spotted. I know that you know what I'm talking about. You've seen the fuzzy black and white photo. So check this out. I mean, Nathan Reeder, he's stepping in for Matt Johnson tonight, pinch hitting for him because Matt was the wedding crasher this weekend. He had two weddings to go to. Nathan is just the greatest guy. And Nathan, I don't know if he ran to get a soda, but if Nathan's there, Nathan, did you remember hearing stories about the Loch Ness Monster at all when you were a kid?
Oh, loved it. Loved it.
I did too. I love the
dinosaurs,
lore.
Dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Why not?
In the water? Giant serpents? Yeah. Well, the craziest thing is, in Southern California, really Oceanside, this specific beach, for the second time in less than a week, it really looks like a sea serpent. That's what they're describing it as. It's a fish that has the most bones, period, ever in the water that we know of. It's 14. Another one came washed up this weekend. 14 feet long. Crowds just saw it and were shocked, right? So they contact. They don't know what to do. The police see what's happening, and someone calls them. They run down to the beach, and it's odd-looking. They're calling it an oarfish. They contact SeaWorld. They contact the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, And then because they want to get the carcass. And they want to cut it into sections, I guess, is what they'll do. And they'll study it. Because the one they found before, so this was 14 feet. They found another one earlier last week. So it's been a week, in a whole week. They found one that was 18 feet long. And this, a snorkeler found it in Catalina Island. That would have scared me to death. And they're calling this an oarfish. And this snorkeler this time dragged it to the beach. The other oarfish washed up on the beach. Here's the freaky thing. What they're saying is these oarfish can grow to about 15 feet long. So they're like the boniest fish, as I said, in the world. And it looks like a serpent. It is freaky. If I were snorkeling in Catalina Island and a 40-foot oarfish approached me, I have to say maybe I'm weak-kneed. I don't know. Because I usually think I'm pretty brave, and I am a snorkeler. But if this thing came up and started wrapping itself around me, oh, I would freak out. It is crazy. It looks like those fuzzy pictures of the Loch Ness tail, like you would just see it in the air. It's very, very strange. Very strange. I never even heard of the oarfish with all of those bones. Now, somebody out there is laughing hysterical. Come on, you third shifters. You probably know all about the oarfish. I knew nothing about it. Started to look up as much as I could. And it's really true. They have the most bones. And they can get up to 50 feet long. Craziness. So some kids that have stumbled across it, they think they're looking at the Loch Ness. So the story that Nathan heard and the story that I heard when I was a kid, that story keeps living on. It's kind of like Bigfoot. People are still spreading that story. So if someone who's young understands it, then they get it is a sea serpent. I mean, people are gawking. It's very, very crazy. So in the midst of all the nonsense of what I just opened up with, talking about the glitches and the president's going to have a press conference in the Rose Garden to talk about what they're doing to tackle the technical problems and Kathleen Sebelius, the health and Human Services Secretary will probably be dragged up the hill and asked about how could this be screwed up and why wasn't the website working correctly and what about Americans trying to sign up and the frustrations of that and all that kind of stuff will probably happen. So while all of that's happening, we have this other mystery on the West Coast that I thought you'd enjoy of the Loch Ness Monster. Here's the other mystery that I just cannot seem to unravel. And probably, you know, I mentioned right at the top, I just threw it out there, that it was huge. The Red Sox knocked off Detroit. I was sad because in a way I wanted Detroit to win. And Detroit loses game six to the Red Sox. So the Red Sox are going to the World Series on Wednesday against St. Louis. For Red Sox fans, though, there is something very poetic about this because, you know, they're all saying Boston strong because of what happened this past year at the marathon. If you think back to April and the explosions and how sad and awful all of that was, there is something about Boston pulling together and this is their team, the Red Sox, is a moment going to the World Series and, you know, Boston strong and that big message and all of the T-shirts that say that the people wear so proudly in that city. Besides that, there was a different kind of homecoming, and it was one that made a lot of people teary-eyed, frankly, at the halftime, when the Colts hosted Denver, and Peyton Manning came back to Indianapolis. And everybody thought, every week we have on our pal Brandon Lang, everybody thought it was inevitable that Peyton would crush Indianapolis. I mean, and this was going to just be, Brandon said it was just going to be a thumping, even though he likes Andrew Luck and the Colts are good. He really liked the idea of this just being a Peyton show. Because everything that, let's face it, that Denver has done has been a Peyton show, and it wasn't. It was emotional at halftime, all the things they showed about Peyton. Of course, the fans were great, and they appreciated him. But Indy beat Denver 39-33. First loss of the season. Our Nail the Score game, if you don't know what I'm talking about, each and every week on our Wednesday into Thursday show, in our third hour, for two segments, we nail the score. Randomly, our computer will pick out the game of the week, randomly, and once that's determined, you call in who's going to win the game and what's the score going to be. So 39-33, and check this out. We had some people that were kind of close to what it was going to be. You know, like I said, well, I was way wrong, but I said the Broncos would win 30-24. You had Joe listening to us in Missouri. He was one of the emailers, actually, and he said that Indy would win it 38-31. How close was he? And so many people picked the Broncos, though. You know, 31-21, 31-13, Rick in Illinois said, and RC in Illinois, 34-28. Told you what mine was. Brian, 34-28. And what a crazy game. And they were getting blown out. And I think that was part of the reason Peyton Manning couldn't reel back a victory, because he was so far in the tank. To try to pull it out was an impossibility. I mean, there just wasn't enough time left on the clock. So what a great comeback for him as far as the fans were concerned. And they're classy. And, you know, think about the two Super Bowl appearances and 14 seasons and records and records and records. So that was great. And that was not a surprise that they treated him that way. But it is a surprise, I think, that they lost. I thought they would win a closer game. But it wasn't close. It was practically a blowout almost all the way through until you got to the fourth quarter. And then Peyton started to push a comeback, but there wasn't enough time. So nobody nailed the score this week. Very close, though. Somebody came very close. This is what I always say. We're getting there. I wouldn't be shocked at all if somebody this season finally nails the score. I think somebody will do it. I do. And it could be you. So just remind yourself, our Thursday AM show on our third hour, last two segments, nail the score. And you can even email us the guess once we announce what the game is. So whatever your guess is, boom, you'll be in the books like this, and maybe you'll, you know, bada bing like that, and maybe you'll be the winner. All right, stay with us. Much more to come as we boot it to the other side here on America Tonight.
Not all protein powders are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps lose body fat, supports excellent blood sugar levels, excellent for building muscle, increases in energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, energy for exercise and recovery. Who's it for? Anyone wanting to feel healthy and have energy. Busy people, office workers, growing children, students, teachers, seniors, people recovering from illness, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy bodies. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, E-Foods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
This often here on America Tonight, the assassination of JFK. As so many of you know, our satellite facility where I am for the GCN network is in Dallas, Texas, probably about, oh, maybe 10 miles tops from the grassy knoll. And ever since the president was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963, a lot of people have talked about different conspiracy theories. There certainly have been many books written about it and a lot of push and pull on what happened to JFK and certainly what happened to the city of Dallas. And a lot of people that come to the city go to the book depository and they can actually soak in some of the history and different workings that they have going on there, different pieces about what's happened and how it was written and portrayed by different a journalist and whatnot. And we have one of those journalists with us right now, Dick Stolle. He is the journalist who actually got the Zapruder film for Life exclusively 50 years ago. Dick, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure, Kate.
What was it? First of all, take us through the steps of what happened. I mean, I'm sure you've done this with other people, but bear with us. But that day, and as everything was unfolding and all the chaos, what was it like for you?
Well, I was based in L.A. I was the L.A. bureau chief for Life. We mm-hmm. got the news. Another reporter and two photographers and I jumped on a plane, flew to Dallas, And I was setting up a kind of a temporary bureau in the Adolphus Hotel right downtown when I got a phone call from a stringer, that is a part-time correspondent for Life, a woman named Patsy Swank. She had spent the afternoon at the Dallas Police Department and had gone home to fix dinner for her kids. She got a phone call from a reporter friend who said he'd heard from a cop. Now, this is the way these things go, who had heard that a businessman had been in Dealey Plaza with a movie camera and had photographed the assassination. And I thought, wow. And she said he couldn't spell the name, but this is how he pronounced it. And I picked up the phone book and ran my finger down the Z's, and there was Zapruder, Abraham, just the way she pronounced it. So I started calling him, and about 11 o'clock at night, I reached him, very weary voice answering. I identified myself, asked a few questions. Yes, he had been in Dealey Plaza. Yes, he had photographed it. And yes, he had seen the film himself. I asked him if I could come out right then. And this was a man who had seen a murder that afternoon.
Wow.
And he asked me very sincerely, please don't. And sometimes in his business, you know, you have to push, and sometimes you feel that pushing is not a very good idea. And thank God I came to the second conclusion. And so he said, please come to my garment factory at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, Saturday. And I got there at 8, and because I was pretty sure other reporters would have heard the same thing, as indeed did happen. So at 8 o'clock that morning, there were two Secret Service agents in his office, and he said he was about to show the film to them, showing their inability to do their most important job, which is to protect the President of the United States. So we showed the film to the three of us, and it was that familiar snaking around Dealey Plaza, and the first shot, or actually the first shot missed, the second shot, which hit Kennedy and then went into Governor Connally, and then a few seconds later, this awful, awful frame 313, where the whole top of the President's head flies up into the air.
Yeah,
Kate, the sound you just made is the sound that all three of us made when we saw that headshot. It was as if we had been gut punched simultaneously.
Wow! And then the decision comes, as you say, this is so overwhelming almost to see this. And then life decides you're going to feature this, and you publish about 30 frames of it in black and white. Is that what happened?
22 the first time. We did not publish in that first issue. We did not publish the headshot, the frame 313. We just felt, on behalf of the Kennedy family, they had been through enough. They didn't have to see that.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, Life magazine, even from what I understand, if I'm right about this, that just a few years afterwards, even had a film lab try to, you know, make a copy of the original. And, of course, I can imagine there must have been massive requests. And then there was the investigation, the Warren Commission and all of that. Were they breathing down your throat with the Warren Commission, I can imagine, because they had the frames, you know,
well,
obviously.
We started making copies of the film right away. For one thing, that film was very fragile, and it deteriorates quickly. So we started making copies right away. And we gave them to all law enforcement, local, state, and federal. We gave it to the Warren Commission. We gave it to the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service. We when Jim Garrison had that trial of Clay Shaw down in New Orleans, we sent a copy down there because he subpoenaed it. But we did not And partly this is because Zapruder said to me when we were negotiating, he said, I do not want this film exploited. And he used the word exploit again and again. And so I conveyed this to the Life people, and that was what competition was one reason, of course, but another was to try to honor Mr. Zapruder's feelings about the film. We did not sell it to, we sold individual frames to European picture magazines. We never sold the film itself to either television or to motion pictures.
And you know, the conversations you have with Zapruder, and you, as you mentioned, the three of you standing there and watching it, which is just so wild to even think about that. It was one of those moments where he was excited, and he was filming the president, and he just happened to have his home video camera rolling. Is that how pretty much it went down?
Well, he was an 8mm buff. He did a lot of filming of family and kids and employees. And when the people in the office heard that the president's motorcade was coming half a block away, they all said, Mr. Z is what they called him, you've got to bring your movie camera in. Now, there were a lot of coincidences, and here's one. It was raining when he got up that morning, and he left his camera at home. And when he got to the office, they asked, where's your camera? And he said, it looked to him, the weather was terrible. Well, it cleared up, the sun came out, and they persuaded him to drive all the way back home and get his camera. He was that close to never taking these pictures. Then he went out onto duty. He was going to shoot from his office. He was on, I think, the 7th floor of the building overlooking Dealey Plaza. He couldn't see very much from there, so he walked down. He found the one place on an abutment, the one place where he could photograph the entire thing from beginning to end. And he was always, even when he was speaking to me, he was embarrassed by the fact that this middle-aged garment manufacturer had taken pictures of this momentous event, whereas all of these world-famous photographers who were covering the president were back in the press bus and didn't get a single frame.
Oh, wow. And so you go through this process, you have this Zapruder film, and, you know, constantly it's a source of information and I think horror for some people. Just, there's so many things that it conjures up, there's no doubt about it. And Life magazine couldn't have been bigger then, and you go on, you move on to other assignments. But were you always, because of now what's happened, your relationship to this story, are you always, in your lifetime, have you been fascinated by all the things that have been written and said about that day? And there's also conspiracy theories and whatnot. Do you pay attention to all of that, Dick?
Oh, I've been following it for 50 years. I'm actually named in two conspiracy theories.
Mm.
That I'm part of the conspiracy. I have to say, Kate, that Mr. Zapruder himself felt that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone shooter and did it on his own. And I came to this conclusion fairly quickly, and in 50 years of reading many books and listening to a lot of conspiracy theories, some of which are very well done and very credible, but I believe that it was Lee Harvey Oswald by himself with no help.
All right, perfect place to end this. What a pleasure, Dick, to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register-required states.
Sabbatical? Ever thought maybe some people that you know should take a sabbatical? Like all of Congress, we're so frustrated. Maybe that's what you have to do sometimes. Step away from something that's too familiar or something that is suddenly crushing to you. In the wings in our virtual green room, Glenn Tiboldeo and Laura Berger, husband and wife, did exactly that. They took off for Costa Rica, left some high-paying corporate jobs, and learned about how you can be flexible and still successful by taking sabbaticals, whether they're intentional or unintentional. Laura and Glenn, thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure. Pleasure
yeah,
to be
thanks
here.
For having us.
All right, so Laura, what prompted you to take a life where you were doing well, you're climbing the ladder, you're on top of the ladder, brick by brick, you've got this fortress you've built, and you decide you're going to kick it down, you're going to take off. What happened?
Well, Kate, so I think that you can relate to Groundhog Day, right? The movie Groundhog Day, where you're doing the same thing over and over again. And mm-hmm. and that was something that both Glenn and I were experiencing in the careers that we had. It was good at the time, yet you would wake up the next morning and it was the same old, same old, and you just felt that there was something missing. And so after a while, you just go stir crazy because you wake up the next morning and you say, I'm going to make a change, and then you don't, and then you go back to bed and you wake up and you get up again. And finally, we said, enough is enough. Life's too short. What are we doing? Are we going to keep living a Groundhog Day?
Wow. And then, Glenn, when you finally make that decision, how'd you decide that you were going to chuck the jobs and go to Costa Rica? How'd you pick Costa Rica?
It took a while for us to decide where we were going to go. The way I had addressed it, and I think many people do, I addressed my lack of fulfillment by trying harder. I obviously must be trying, not be trying harder. The rewards aren't great enough. So if you can imagine working at something voraciously that is kind of out of alignment with your core, it became a pressure cooker for me, and I think to a lesser degree for Laura. We went to Costa Rica. That pressure cooker blew in the book Radical Sabbatical, which incidentally last week became an Amazon Kindle bestseller. We talk about how we got there, and we just took a horseback ride on a trip down to a river. I sat on a rock that I call the Magic Rock, and all of a sudden this thing came out of the sky and said, you could live here. So it took me a while to convey my information to Laura, but she looked at me like I was only a little bit crazy. And then after a year or so, we kind of negotiated, came around, and decided to go.
How long did you, Laura, stay in Costa Rica?
Well, that is. Oh, I thought you were asking me. I'm sorry. That is something that we keep to mystery. It's in the book.
All right, I see what you're doing there. Okay, so when you go to Costa Rica, Laura, it's it's one thing to go and visit, and it's fun, and geez, it's so sexy, and the weather, and you're horseback riding, and you're on the beach. And now, when you're living there, it's a little bit different. What was it like to live there?
So I'll give you a comparison. We moved from downtown Chicago, where when the UPS truck comes by, he drops off a package on your doormat. We had venomous snakes welcoming us on our doormat. So it was quite a culture shift going from, you know, a bustling city to the middle of nowhere. We also were dealing with basic necessities. There were no 7-Elevens around the corner for convenience. And we were really working with the hierarchy of needs. Water, electricity, just your basic, just trying to survive in many ways.
And so as you're trying to survive and you go through that, what happens, Glenn, on the other side that makes, you know, it prompted you obviously to write the book? We know examples of this that have happened to other people that have either fallen down on something they've been doing, or they're famous and they become infamous and then they suddenly disappear and take a radical sabbatical in a way. What happened on the other side? I mean, when did you, you know, where was that light bulb moment where you're like, wow, this is it. We did the right thing. This is perfect.
Yeah, I think it comes from actually writing. For me, that was pretty cathartic. I did 8 or 9 rewrites, well, we did together on this book. Every time we went through it, it was like massive. It was really intense journaling for 2 years. And so every time we rewrote the book, there was a lot more clarity involved in the process. And really what we ended up understanding was that if you go through these types of mass changes and put yourself in a completely different world, we went from, you know, subways and taxis to toucans and complete quiet within the span of 18 hours. It just completely turns you around. There's really nothing that really daunts us anymore. As far as we live our lives every day, seeking a new adventure.
Laura, what did your friends say? I mean, I have a lot of friends and family in Chicago, and they're not shy about their opinions. What did they say when you decided that you were going to go and do this? What did they tell you?
Well, we had a lot of people that thought we were crazy. and we actually got, it's funny because support can come in very interesting ways. We would get emails from people saying, oh, check this out, and it's a photo of the most venomous snake in all of Central America. And you're sitting there going, how am I going to respond to that? You know, is this helping me, or are they making light of it, or are they sending a message? So we got a lot of mixed messages.
Yeah, when you decided to leave. When you leave Chicago, you go to Costa Rica, you take a breath, you're writing, you're dealing with the things that you're dealing with there, and as I said, that light bulb moment kind of goes off. Do you think that everyone could benefit by even a mini sabbatical after you've done something like this, Glenn?
Absolutely. And you know, the more out of your comfort zone you go, I take the example, a lot of us have children. I mean, we don't personally, frankly, but I see our nephew is like 20 months old now. And you see everything, my sister's always telling me, and I see how quickly he has learned, how quickly he is learning all the time. He's coming along so quickly. And when we were in the jungle, it felt the exact same way. You go, it's because he's in a completely different environment. We learned about culture. We learned about open-mindedness. I mean, we had a person in the jungle who lost a $400 tire, rolled all the way down the hill into the rainforest, and his solution to that was to roll the other three tires he had down so that he could go down, chase them, and see where they rolled, and he actually found the tire. So, I mean, there's all this unconventional thinking that you have in the jungle when you're kind of MacGyvering and Indiana Jonesing everything, and it really carries over into your life. Anybody can benefit, and you don't have to do what we did. I mean, just go out of your comfort zone a little bit, and you'll learn a ton.
Yeah, you know, I started this by saying, you know the frustrations, you can hear it with everybody, with what's happening with the government and the shutdown and everything else. And Congress has its own rhythm and its own routine, and it does have a routine. You know, you're in on Tuesday, you're out on Friday normally, and there's not a lot of what used to be camaraderie, not that there isn't any, but where they used to live in Washington for a while, and they would socialize whether you were a Democrat or a Republican, you had friends on both sides of the aisle. Do you think that would benefit with what you're seeing with this headbutting, a little bit of a break? I'm not suggesting they chuck their, although some people listening to the show would say, I can think of a few people that should chuck their job. But meaning that you could take a mini, that's why I say you could take a mini break, or all of Congress could go on a retreat that doesn't cost a fortune, and maybe they could actually have a conversation instead of being in the thick of it. Do you think that helps with businesses?
It absolutely does. So Laura had mentioned, you know, getting up every morning saying you're going to change something and the next morning waking up and realizing you haven't. And what happens is, and what was happening with us, is what we were doing on a day-to-day basis voraciously was our short-term goals weren't lined up with our long-term goals. Find the exact same thing with Congress, really. I mean, their approval ratings have been going down for years and years. We're not political experts, but it doesn't take a layman to figure that out. They kept doing the same thing. They kept spending money that we didn't have. And really, if you ask people like Peyton Manning, like Martha Stewart, like, what's the tennis player?
Rafa Nadal.
Right.
Yeah.
These people who had really, really bad career problems, they had forced sabbaticals. And they came back greater and stronger than ever. I think Congress now is having a forced sabbatical. And the last time the government shutdown happened, it really seemed like some light bulbs, you talk about light bulbs, went off in people's heads in Washington. And things started to careen in the right direction. Unfortunately, they stopped. But it's really a forced sabbatical. They can be great. I mean, even forced sabbaticals and crises can be great for people.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so as you said, the book has really taken off, obviously, on Amazon. You can get a copy of it, Radical Sabbatical. Could you say goodbye to everything you know to get everything you want? Boy, that is the question. How about it, folks? 855-266-8, 855-266-5283. Laura and Glenn, thanks for moving the needle. We appreciate you joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much, Kate. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
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 Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.